We are in a new series started this past Sunday and really kind of making our way toward Easter as this idea of come see unfolds. And this is a series, as I said last week, for your friends and your family and your neighbors and co-workers and really all the way up to Easter Sunday. I want you to bring people, invite people. If you're online, invite people to watch with you. Host a watch party there online and invite your friends. If you're in the room and back to in-person worship, bring someone to church with you, because I believe the word is building and blessing our lives. Last Sunday, week one of Come See, we talked about Come See the Bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. You can get caught up on our YouTube channel. If you search the Church Cove, be sure to subscribe, or there on Facebook, or even our podcast at thechurchcove.com. But we talked about Ezekiel and seeing the valley full of bones. And the Bible said that the bones were very dry and they were very scattered. And we worked through the process of God bringing life back to this army and reestablishing them and raising them up. And we understand that spiritual dryness, certainly it is a challenge to overcome. But many of us are feeling dry in so many areas of our lives. What we have been through this last year, what we have dealt with, what we have faced, it has just created this dryness emotionally and so many ways, and certainly spiritually. And then we are completely scattered. We're scattered as a church with people worshiping from all places, and people just feel scattered and distant from one another. But I believe, just as the miracle of Ezekiel 37, we are coming back together. Does anyone receive that today? Is anyone thankful for that today? So catch up on that word from last week as we move into what I feel to talk about today. I want to get in John chapter 4 today and just kind of work my way through a rather long and complex story. That doesn't mean I'm going to preach long, but it is a story that has many layers. There are a number of moving parts to this story, and I think it's a powerful story because it ultimately tells our story. Your story is probably long and complicated too, and probably we know is still unfolding. But I believe today can be a chapter of change in your life. I believe today can be a chapter of change for you who are watching online today. If you want change in your life, if you desire change in your life, does anyone in this room want change in your life? I see hands going up. You online, I would imagine you're nodding in agreement, maybe hitting like on that screen. That's where it starts. That's how it begins. You wanting change is going to be the thing that causes change to happen. But John chapter 4, beginning at verse number 4, the Bible opens up by telling us that Jesus had to go through Samaria. I don't understand the geography, but obviously there was a more direct route. There was a shortcut, if you will. Jesus could have gone a better way to get to his destination, but he told the disciples, he said, I need to go through Samaria. The King James says that he must needs go through Samaria. I need to go this way ultimately because we have the privilege of reading to the end of the story. We know that Jesus had to go through Samaria because he was going to encounter this woman. We know he had to go through Samaria because he was going to have this conversation. He had to go through Samaria because what was about to happen in this lady's life was going to be the catalyst of an incredible revival that happened in Samaria. Here's what I want to ask you this morning at the outset of our message today. Where did Jesus have to go to find you? Where did Jesus have to go to encounter you, to come face to face with you, to have that moment with you that needed to happen in your life? Or maybe that moment has not happened yet. Where will he have to go? I promise you, he can get to where you are. There is no place remote enough. There is no place off the map enough. There is nowhere that's off the grid enough that Jesus cannot get to where you are. You may think you're hiding from him. You may think you are invisible to everyone, and the Lord is not going to even know that you exist. But I promise you, he knows you exist because he created you, and he's designed an entire service to come and have this encounter with you and to have this moment with you, and it is going to change your life if you will allow it. If you'll allow it, it's going to change your life. So verse number 5 says that he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. It's interesting that Jesus is going to use what is common. Jesus is going to use what is needed among them in order to win this woman. I love that Jesus will use any prop. He will use anything close by. He will make an example out of anything. This woman is coming to the well to fill up water pots, to take back to her home, to ultimately serve her family, to serve her livestock, and Jesus is going to use this water to relate to what she is currently dealing with in her life. Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 9:22, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. He's going to use what all of us need because all of us are thirsty for something. If you're not thirsty in the natural, if you're not thirsty, then something is wrong. All of us deal with thirst. But just as we are thirsty in the natural, we are thirsty for things emotionally. We are thirsty for things physically. We are thirsty for things spiritually. We are thirsty for other things in our lives. We have appetites in our life. We have cravings in our lives. So Jesus said, let me talk to you about your thirst. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." This is why I don't fool with this woman very much. I have steered clear of this story many, many times in preaching because she is quick to clap back. She is almost argumentative. I would imagine a therapist might call her defensive. Is anybody glad that Jesus is patient with us? No matter how much we argue with him, it doesn't matter how defensive we become with him, he is patient with us. I'm sympathetic to this woman because you're going to learn a little more about her life as we go on over the next few moments, but she has learned to survive in a tough world. She has learned to make it in very difficult circumstances. So when she encounters a strange man at the well and he starts up a random conversation with her, she assumes that he has ulterior motive. She assumes that we're not really talking about water, we're talking about your lust, thirst, or something. That's what she's accustomed to in her life. So you see her putting up her walls. You see her putting up her defenses. And don't think this is a woman thing, because men do the same thing. When we know someone's getting too close, we put up our walls. Some of you have done it since I've started preaching today, because you're determined that this word is not going to land. It's not going to make it to the intended target today. But if you'll hold on just a moment in this house, I believe God is going to speak to your life today. So Jesus answers her, not moved by her sarcasm, not deterred by her defensiveness. He answers her and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. I love what Jesus said. He said, if you knew. You see, the problem here is you just don't know. You just don't know. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I have. You don't know what I can offer you. You don't know what I can give to you. And isn't that the reality with so many people? They just don't know. They don't know that Jesus wants to be good to them. They don't realize that there is healing available for them. They don't know that there is emotional stability available to them. They just do not know. And because they do not know, then they treat everyone the same. But he said, if you knew, because when I know better, I do better. And some are just a lesson away from healing. Some are just a revelation away. Some are just this one message away from understanding that Jesus wants to do some awesome things in your life. So verse 11, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. You don't even have anything to draw with. You're talking like I need you. It's obvious you need me, because you don't even have a bucket or a ladle. And you're the one asking for a drink. I met our missions garden team at the property across the street a couple of Saturdays ago, and they were saying, we have a well on this property. I'm from the city, y'all. Y'all know that. I don't have a lot of experience with wells, but we walked a few feet, and I don't know what I was expecting to see. It's certainly not Jacob's well. It's just a PVC pipe that's coming up out of the ground. But they started to go through toolboxes and the backs of pickup trucks that, you know, country boys can survive. So they've got a little bit of everything in their back pocket or in their back pickup bed, and they start finding things, a weighted string, and they want to see how deep the well is. And so they start putting that line down that well, and they were measuring it out, trying to determine how deep it was. And I don't remember exactly, but I think it was, I don't know, 30 or 40 feet before we hit water. And then what was it, Barry? I think I heard you say 160 feet of water, and we ran out of rope. We ran out of measuring string. It's likely deeper than that because it was still going and had not hit the bottom. This is well conversation. She said, you got to have something to draw with, because if you're not just going to scoop this up. The water is down in there. It's got to be unearthed. It's got to be harvested out. Somebody's got to dig deep to get that out of the ground. And you don't have anything. So here you are needing me for something, because she thinks we're still talking about natural water. But on the chance that you're talking about more, there is a curiosity being born in her. Where can you get this living water? I mean, sir, you know, if I were to be interested in what you're offering, where would I find it? Where would I get this that you are talking about? Before he can even answer her, she starts comparing him to all she has ever known. She says in verse 12, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his livestock? Are you saying the water that you have is better than what I've known for generations in my life? Because this is the water that we have drank for years. This is how we've lived for years. This is how we have thought for years. This is how we have believed forever. Are you saying that you're better than what I've known all of my life? It's all I've ever known." And you see, our tendency is to defend our dysfunction, because we have gotten so comfortable in our dysfunction. It's all we've ever known. So we're going to defend it. It's ours. It's our dysfunction. This is how we've thought. This is where we've drank. This is what we've done. This is how we've lived. My daddy had the same temper issue. And I've heard stories about my grandfather and my great-grandpappy. This is what we've all done. All of us have struggled with something. All of us have dealt with. All of us have drank this same water for generations. Are you greater than this? And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water," speaking of the water coming from Jacob's well, "everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." Jesus, with his own clapback, if you will, think about it, lady. He's trying to reason with her. Everyone that you mentioned is still thirsty. Everyone you mentioned are still looking for the same thing, the same satisfaction in the same methods and the same ways. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Because you see, when you have been thirsty your whole life, it's hard to believe there is something that exists that can actually satisfy you. I don't want you to miss that, because the Lord is doing a deep work in someone's heart today. When you have been thirsty your entire life, when you have run from desire to desire and craving to craving and thirst to thirst, when you have tried to fix problem after problem and manage crisis after crisis, it is hard for you to accept that there actually is an answer. It's hard for you to believe that there is a way out of your problem. But hear me, if there was a way into your problem, there has to be a way out of your problem. If there was a way for you to get messed up, there has to be a way for you to get unmessed up. Does anybody believe the word of the Lord today? So the woman says to him in verse 15, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the moment. This is the moment that everything changes in her life. "Sir, give me this water." I'm hoping that someone prays that with me today. I'm hoping that someone declares that with me today. I'm hoping someone says that in your living room today. "Lord, give me this water." Not the water that comes from the ground. Not the water that someone can hand me in the form of a bottle or an ice cold glass. I want that eternal water. I want that soul satisfying water. I want that water that starts refreshing me at the top of my head and goes all the way to the tips of my toes. I want that kind of water to satisfy me so down deep. I'm so tired of getting my temporary thirst quenched. I'm so tired of getting just a moment of peace. What I need is that peace that is lasting. I need that peace when I go to bed at night. I need that peace to still be there when I wake up in the morning. Lord, give me this water. That's what I've been looking for. I didn't even realize it. I didn't even know what I was thirsty for. But now that I know, this is what I have been looking for. And he told her in verse 16, yet another layer, yet another complexity to the story. Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and come back." She said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." I don't want you to get lost in this moment, because this is too powerful of a moment, and it will be in your spiritual journey as well, because this woman is now facing a choice. Will she move from quick fix, temporary help, to real life change? Because I want you to hear me on this Sunday morning. Salvation is instant, but deliverance is a process. I'm going to say it again. Salvation is instant, but deliverance is a process. Jesus said, I know what we're dealing with. I asked you a loaded question. I told you to go and bring your husband. Well, I already knew, because Jesus already knows. He just wants to know, are we ready to deal with this? Are we ready to come face to face with this? Are we ready to sort all of this out? Are we ready to process through the junk in our lives and the things that are keeping us held back and keeping us from experiencing all that he has for us? So he asked her a simple question, or makes a simple statement. Go and bring your husband. Come on. Bring your man back to church. Bring your family to church. Come on, let's get in here together. And she says, well, see, what had happened was, that's not quite as simple as I want it to be. It's not as easy as I want it to be. Salvation is instant, but deliverance is a process. And hear me, if you say yes today, in just a few moments, I'm going to pray with you. You're going to have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And if you say yes to Jesus and leave this service, and God forbid an accident on the way home takes your life, you will be with Jesus for eternity. But if you say yes to Jesus today, and you leave and go to lunch, and you live the rest of the hours on this day, and you wake up tomorrow, and you face Monday's madness, and Tuesday's trouble, and Wednesday's weakness, and Thursday's trial, and Friday's failure, and Saturday's sadness, if you live a few more days, there is going to be a process to you shedding and ridding yourself of the old man and the things that try to get you back into an old way of thinking. And she said, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. It is the moment of revelation in her life. It is the moment of understanding in her life. It's the moment when light bulbs begin to turn on in her life. I'm wondering if anybody in this room is there yet. I'm wondering if anybody online is there yet. Are you coming to that place where light bulbs are turning on to say, wait a minute, this Jesus that's been talking to my heart, I didn't even know that's who it was that was speaking to me, but now I recognize that he is a prophet. It's the best day of your life, the day you realize that Jesus is what you need, the day you realize that Jesus is what you've been looking for. And I cannot decide that for you. I cannot choose him for you. Verse 20, she takes another turn. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus said, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. She's saying, Lord, now that I recognize you're a prophet, I need you to settle this religious argument for me. And Jesus is saying, you're wasting your time to argue religious things. You're wasting your time to get involved in the offense and the anger of the day. You Samaritans, Jesus said, worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So while you want to know, are we supposed to be in the mountain or the valley? While you want to know, is it a Samaritan thing or a Jewish thing? While you want to know, is it this or that? Is it the Baptist or the Pentecostal? While you want to fuss and fight about all of this, Jesus said, I'm going to tell you very simply that your choices always come down to worship. Always. Your choice is not, do I take this drug or that drug? Your choice is worship. Do I worship God or do I worship my craving? Your choice is always worship, no matter what you're facing. And hear me, because this is going to save a lot of heartache in your life if you realize that there's only one who is worthy of our worship. We try to give it to a lot of things. We try to give it to a lot of people, but there is only one. And the sooner you submit to the one, all of the other stuff gets much easier in your life. Is the word helping anybody today? It may have been too much on the Sunday. You lost an hour's sleep. Some of you are like, oh, well, go ahead. Amen. Preach. Always comes back to worship. Who and what will I worship today while I'm sitting in church? I'm going to worship Jesus. That's easy. But who will I worship tomorrow? The woman said in verse 25, and I'm just about done. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. When he comes, he's going to make sense of all of this. She's almost testing him again, because the long held strongholds in our lives do not like to give up. The long held strongholds do not like to give up. So she's saying, I mean, this is good. This is nice. This was a great conversation, but I'm still looking for someone else. I'm still hoping someone else is going to arrive. Someone else is going to come. There's a Messiah coming, and when he gets here, he'll figure all of this out. But Jesus declared, I am the one. I, the one speaking to you, am he. This is it, y'all. This is him. I've got to stop making my miracle jump through hoops. I've got to stop making the goodness of God prove himself to me over and over again. This is it. This is him. Jesus said, I, the one speaking to you, am he. You might as well give up. You might as well give in. You might as well allow him to be Lord in your life. And when she heard that, the Bible said in verse 28, then leaving her water jar. I don't want you to miss that today, because she left the reason that she came to the well. She left the tools. She left the thing. She left the jar. She left the pot. I came here to get water enough to satisfy me and my crew for one more day. But she left that behind. She said, no, I found something more. I'm done with the daily. I'm done with the temporary. I'm done with the momentary. I'm done with the quick. Now I finally have clear understanding of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in my life. So let me ask you, what are you leaving behind today? What tool, what thing, what? I'm careful to even offer, because I don't want to let anybody off the hook today. I don't. What addiction are you leaving behind? What relationship are you leaving behind? What negativity are you, what are you leaving behind because you found something better? What are you walking away from because you know this to be true today? The woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come. Y'all aren't going to believe this. This going to seem so far-fetched, but I went to the well to get water. And my thirst got so satisfied. You got to come see this man. This woman became the greatest evangelist this town had ever known. How? Why? Because she got satisfied herself. When you get satisfied, when you get your thirst quenched, when you get what you need from Jesus, it's going to make a difference for everyone in your house, everyone you work with, everyone you school with, everyone you live near. Come see a man. It's not just any man. Come see the Messiah. Come see Jesus. Come experience him. Come feel him. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said they came out of the town and made their way toward him. I'm finished, but I'm wondering today who's coming toward him. Who's making a move? Who has decided that today is your day? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed across this room. Join us online as well, because this is a private moment. This is a personal moment. This is not a, hey, bud, I'll go if you go. I'll respond if you'll respond. No. This is just you and Jesus around the well. This is you and Jesus having a conversation. This is you and Jesus deciding whether or not you believe what he has spoken in your life, what he has declared possible in your life. Do you believe? Do you believe that the rest of your days are the best of your days? Do you believe that your life is not over? Do you believe that your life, regardless of how many years you've spent running, messing up, falling down, failing, flunking, whatever it is, that it has no power on the rest of your life? Because today you can choose. Today you can decide. Today you can determine. I want Jesus to help me. So today I say yes. I don't know where you are. I don't know what particulars of your situation may be, but I believe Jesus wants to heal and help. I believe he wants to build and bless. I believe he wants to make the difference in your life. How is that possible, Pastor Darrell? When you say yes to Jesus, when you declare that he is Lord in your life, when you determine and decide and you choose him, I'm reaching for the water that he has to offer and not the water that man has to give. Today I want you to pray with me. You may want to borrow my words, you may want to use your words, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to know who I'm praying with today. If you feel like this word is speaking right, would you just lift your hand? It's no one's looking around. It's just you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Online, I know there are hands being raised. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I want the water that you have for me. Jesus, I want you to satisfy my thirst. So today, Lord, I repent of my sin. Today, I reject every idea the world has given me for how to fix my life. Today, Lord, I say yes to you. Today I receive your promise. Today I accept your grace. Today I am healed. Today I am delivered. Today I am set free. Today I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. My life will never be the same again. And I'm so glad about it. We pray it today in Jesus' name. And everybody in this room said amen. 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 Would you stand with me across the room today? Come on, can we give Jesus some praise for helping people and blessing people? People online, people in this room, say,
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation.
Say,
I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
If you said yes to Jesus on either side of the auditorium, our big yes banners on the table, there is a book called Following Jesus. I invite you to get a copy of that book today. If you prayed that prayer with me, if you received that and said yes to Jesus, it's completely free of charge. What is it? Just a few pages of next steps. It's a few pages celebrating what just happened in your life and helping you know what to do next. Get one of those today if you prayed that prayer with me and said yes. If you're online, we want to get one of these into your hands as well. If you'll just type the word follow into the chat, the word follow, follow, just say follow, and we'll make sure that you get one of these. We have a virtual copy that we can send to you, an electronic copy, and it'll bless and build your life. Say,